It is a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line, Dan Zwicker from CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Dan, it's raining here this afternoon. How about where you are?
We don't have no rain, but the forecast says we're going to get some heavy rain here over the next 24, 48 hours. If you look at the five-day total, at least the forecast of the five-day total. So, but we don't really lack any moisture down here, just like you guys up north don't lack any moisture.
Not at the moment, anyway, that's for sure.
Everything is green, growing, and actually the flowers never did die down here, so they're year-round. We have flowers down here year-round. So
yeah, we have lots of wet, but nothing is green and growing, at least in the field at this point. It's still a lot of brown.
Well, I understand at least the northern areas of our listening audience was planting corn yesterday up above 80. I think they're fairly active, but I think the central portion of our audience is probably not doing a whole lot. Is that right?
Yeah, not much. I took about a 200-mile ride. Over two different sites around 24 hours yesterday. And if you go towards Danville, yesterday, but not certainly today, or on Tuesday, they were in the field, but I saw only three guys out. Two of them had field cultivators on, one with a planter. But they were just scratching the earth. And then yesterday afternoon, I took off and went straight west on the Blacktops. If you're coming out of Cisco towards Mount Pulaski and then Elkhart, which is my hometown in Illinois, and that's about a 60-mile run, I ran across one guy in the field, and he was planting his second field for that day, and that's it. And I counting those two fields, four between Cisco and Elkhart, and that's got to be, 45 miles that were planted and then visited with my family. They were actually in the field and planting yesterday afternoon. But they were one of the few, and they no-till, at least in that place. So we'll see how things go. It's an interesting thing, but there's not a lot planted in central Illinois, that's for sure. When you can count them on one hand, that's nothing. That counts as a zero.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't even really talked around to see what the trade expects to see what the planning intentions number on Monday afternoon is going to be. I have no idea. I actually think the numbers have been running a little bit low, but that's just my impression. You know, when we started out, I think 2 weeks ago at four, and then what did we climb to this week, nine or something like that? I think those are kind of low, but that's just the way it is. It'll be interesting to see if we do get up close to this 20% mark here, because it will be, May 13th at 20% begins to start biting the fingernails, because you've got another week yet to get to, and you could have maybe half the crop planted after May 20th, which would not really be a good start anyway to having at least a big-time yield anyway.
That is certainly when you start to drop yield off pretty quickly. You can talk to Emerson Nafziger. If you go onto our website at willag.org right now, you'd have to look under the Will Ag notes and then hit read more, because you won't see it. But Emerson's there, and he talks a little bit about that and what the amount that you drop off happens to be in corn yield. It's there, but it's substantial. After you get to the 20th, it starts to drop off pretty quickly in terms of corn yield. So it'll be fun to watch. It wouldn't be fun to participate in, but
I know in the past, if you go back and take a look at other weather markets where we had weather adversities in the spring, whether it was too wet, too dry, whatever, May 20th seems to be the magic date where the market all of a sudden realizes that planting hasn't gone very well,
right?
And we've lost acres or we've reduced yield potential, and that a lot of times that's when the market takes off and rallies then into that June, early July time frame until the market feels more comfortable with what the prospects really are. And then, of course, in the June report, that's when we get the plantings number, and then by then we know what July weather is.
What are your charts telling you about the summer months at this time? Anything interesting?
Well, let's put it this way. I think today's price action, today's surge to the upside, if you're a market bull, you like this. If you're wanting markets to go down, you did not like today's trade. And the reason I say that is because it looks to me like over the past 2-3 weeks here, we're shifting the trend to something higher because our highs are getting higher and our lows are getting higher. And I say that, you know, with that big surge that we had here a week ago Monday, took out the previous rally high points, just sliced through it like warm butter. Then, of course, we've had this steep decline, scary decline, probably more so in new crop corn than anything else. But now, today, U.S. December corn traced out an outside up reversal.
Mm-hmm.
So that held above the March 24th low. So that looks to me like we could be shifting the new crop corn trend sideways to higher. Actually, your expiring May corn filled Monday's gap, which is always constructive if you fill a gap, if you've got enough power to go up. In case this was a downside gap, to go up there and fill it. Now, July and your other contracts haven't done that, but that'll be the function to see whether or not today's strength follows through over the next several days in the next week and see if we can fill those gaps that were left on Monday. If we do, then I think the overall chart picture really improves for, you know, some kind of run at that high that we had there a week ago Monday. In these corn, it was up around 570. November soybeans, it was up there around 1240. So I think there's, you know, when I look at today's price action, it kind of opens the door for another run at the highs that we had here, like I said, a week and a half ago. And then we kind of go from there. Soybeans have already, the wheat futures, if you look at Chicago July wheat, we've already had a couple instances of higher highs and higher lows. So I think that trend is shifting sideways to higher. And I think that basically has a lot to do with continued deterioration of the hard red winter wheat crop. We've even seen some deterioration in the soft red winter wheat crop because of too much moisture. So I think that's indicating that the supplies are tightening. And then we are also beginning to pick up more and more chatter of the dryness in the Black Sea areas of Russia and Ukraine. And we know Australia is dry. So world wheat production numbers may be kind of slipping away, and that is probably what's maybe behind this wheat market rally.
And you think we'll see any of those show up in tomorrow's WASD figures?
my confidence level on WASD reports is pretty low, but they may not do much shuffling on those because it's early yet. My guess is, though, you could maybe see some ratcheting up of the South American corn and soybean crop. It seems like those crops are plenty big down there. As far as WASD's modeling, to my understanding on this new crop stuff, they use planting dates as a very heavy in their model.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we all know that they took that early planting and pumped up the yield to the sky at 166, and they only missed that by, 45 bushels. So I don't know what they'll
do.
That's
not fair.
Well, I think July, August weather is more important than planting days. Let's put it that way.
There you go.
It'll be interesting to see if they come off of that yield that they put out of the ag form. I think that was something like 162.5 or mm-hmm. something like that.
Right.
And how far off they come off of that. My guess is if their model is weighted that way, they're going to have to recognize this year's slow planting pace, and they're going to have to come off of it at least a few bushels. Most people kind of feel that their demand numbers will be optimistic because of the large competition that we're going to see out of South America this coming year. That's where the problem's going
to
be at.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go next. You mentioned South America, the potential that they might increase production numbers out of both Brazil and Argentina for corn and soybeans. So the question really is there enough production, enough competition there that even if the United States is short again in some form, and short's a debatable number at this point, that it will have an impact on the marketplace?
Well, it's hard to say. But you can almost look at today's export market in corn, and it almost looks like we've lost it already. Brazil and Argentina, Brazil especially, has increased their production levels so much in corn that my guess is that they're going to be a seller of export corn into the world market all the way into the fall months, could even go into the early January months. And that does not spell real well, I think, for U.S. corn exports. Now, soybeans is a little different because China is the big dog in soybean demand. But my guess is that with that South American crop, that's going to shave our export demand. Of course, a lot of it depends upon what we raise. But I think we have a real problem on our hands competing with Brazil in the long run. I think that's going to be because they're going to be year-round competitors. They're almost there now. If they have favorable weather, they will be year-round competitors, and that's going to put a little pressure on U.S. ag commodities.
Thank you so much, Dan. We'll talk to you for Commodity Week.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Speaking of Commodity Week, Drew Lerner of World Weather will be our guest this week on that program.